Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, June the 19th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A shooting in the state of South Carolina in the U.S. brings attention to Zimbabwe's colonial past as Rhodesia and also apartheid South Africa are mentioned.
It's highly symbolic when it's coupled with various other things that he did or said. So Rhodesia and South Africa were brutally segregated countries, and those are the nations that he chooses of all the multitudinous nations in the world to put on his jacket.
Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana refutes accusations against him that courts should respect the rights of girls as young as 12 to get married.
I never say that girls under the age of 12 should and can have sex. I did not say that.
Zifa Heath calls from soccer fans to drop gate charges for the anticipated Sunday game between Warriors and Comoros at Rufaro Stadium.
Yes, we have charged these gate charges to $2. Yes, our appeal for people to come in their large number.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
Zimbabwe and South Africa have come into the spotlight after the use of their colonial flags by a 21-year-old American, Dylan Stromroof, arrested for allegedly killing 9 people, a historical black church in South Carolina. Many conclude that Roof's choice of flags are indicative of his belief in white supremacism. Blessing Zulu has more.
What has been described as one of the most tragic incidents in America related to the fight for civil rights somehow brought into the spotlight former Rhodesia and apartheid South Africa, two countries in colonial Africa that were the poster children of racism, with the late rebel Prime Minister Ian Douglas Smith in Rhodesia and Piet Willem Botha in South Africa. Dylan Roof, who is now in police custody, proudly displayed the flags on his jacket in a picture he posted on his Facebook page. The memories of Zimbabwe's colonial past does not bring up the best of memories for many, including Senior Minister of State and ZANU-PF spokesman Ambassador Simon Kayamoyo, who recalls it as so brutal that it forced blacks to wage a war of liberation.
ZANU went through a very, very protracted liberation struggle because we were fighting against white supremacy and secularism. And of course, we had to take up arms because we were considered subhuman, but we defeated them, of course, through the efforts of also our friends from various countries, particularly Russia and China and many other countries.
Legendary musician Thomas Mapfumo, who now lives in the U.S. and was jailed by the Smith regime for the criticism of the colonial system, concurs with Moyo, remembering how Africans who were treated as second-class citizens lived.
Life was hard. I mean, during the white man's rule, was tough. Everything was just tough. There was a lot of racism, a lot of segregation. So you can get the money, but if there is segregation, you're not free. There's no freedom. That's why people had to revolt and fight against the colonial rule.
But why are symbols of Rhodesia and apartheid still being used? In the U.S., where the civil rights movement was winning historic victories, white supremacists saw the viciously racist Rhodesian government as a victory worth celebrating. By 1976, court, there was a sprawling proliferation of pro-Rhodesian organizations in the United States. University of Houston historian Gerald Horn writes, "The transatlantic question of race was the essential glue that held the lobby together." Brian Levine, director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism and an associate professor at California State University, San Bernardino, speculates over Roof's use of the racist symbols.
Well, I think it's highly symbolic when it's coupled with various other things that he did or said. So, Rhodesia and South Africa were brutally segregated countries. And those are the nations that he chooses of all the multitudinous nations in the world to put on his jacket. Plus, he was posing with a Confederate flag.
Washington-based human rights lawyer Doug Coltart concurs with Levine.
The use hoists of the apartheid South African flag and the Rhodesian flag is indicative of the legacy of white supremacy and racism that we have historically in both South Africa and Zimbabwe, and that is an awful aspect of our past that we are still working through the ramifications of even today.
Levin also says South Carolina is home to many hate groups.
There are certainly hate groups in South Carolina, but I think, you know, today one of the things that we have to understand is that the old brick and mortar membership hate group is a bit anachronistic, and that is today people who have hate proclivities can do that on their own without joining a hate group. So hate groups today operate much more as vessels of ideology than actually membership-driven entities like they used to be.
Human Rights Watch researcher Dewa Mavinga says lack of gun control laws in America is also fueling the violence.
It's about the control of guns. It is about ensuring protection, which is unlike many other countries where there are stronger and stricter controls on how someone can get access to guns and ammunition and how those are used.
The shooting in South Carolina is among many in America that continue to spark debate about access to guns. United States President Barack Obama, remarking on the incident yesterday, attributed this to poor gun control.
I've had to make statements like this too many times. Communities like this have had to endure tragedies like this too many times. We don't have all the facts, but we do know that, once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun.
Charleston County Coroner Rye Wooten identified the victims as follows: Cynthia Hurd, 54, Susie Jackson, 87, Ethel Lance, 70, Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor, 49, Honorable Reverend Clementa Pickney, 41, Taiwanza Sanders, 26, Reverend Daniel Simmons Sr., 74, Reverend Sharonda Singleton, 45, and Mira Thompson, 59. South Carolina's Governor Nikki Haley has urged prosecutors today to seek the death penalty for the suspect gunman. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, this is Blessing Zulum.
Meanwhile, civil rights activist Clay Omawale, who is also a spokesman for the December 12th Movement International Secretariat, which fights for black people's rights worldwide, tells Studio 7 that Dylan Roof subscribes to white supremacist ideologies because they are still shared by some sections of the white race, especially in America.
There's always been a marriage between the racist ideologies in Africa by European settlers and the racist ideology of European settlers in North America. You know, and that ideology is built on this, that people of color, particularly of African ancestry, are not human beings and therefore do not have to be treated as human beings. Many people in the South continue to relate back to the Confederacy. In fact, the governor of South Carolina has always advocated and been proud of the fact that the Confederate flag can still fly in the capital of South Carolina. These are the kinds of conditions that have nourished a young man like this. We will see what happens in the so-called courts of justice in the United States.
As someone who has visited Africa, including Zimbabwe, do you think this country's colonial history is widely known?
Absolutely. Very well known, because the ideologies are the same. And it's also in terms of what their parents and what the schools continue to teach in that regard. So it's not accidental that he has a Confederate insignia and he has a Rhodesian insignia, because to him those two symbols are symbols of white supremacy and symbols of the fact that African people are not fully human beings and are there to be exploited. When slavery ended in the United States, no one ever asked the ex-slaves what should their relationship be. It was forced on us, and all forcing on us did was strap us down with decades and decades of continued exploitation and racist attacks like what took place. We have never had equality in this country. The same question of black people dying because they are black because of poor health care, being shot down in the street.
What is your outlook for the future?
I take great encouragement, and have always had, from our African brothers and sisters who have fought for their liberation, from apartheid and colonialism in countries like Zimbabwe.
That was civil rights leader Clay Omowale of the 12th December Movement International Secretariat on the line with Studio 7 from New York.
In our sports segment, the Zimbabwe Football Association, or ZIFA, has some good news for fans ahead of a crucial game at Rufaro Stadium between Zimbabwe and Comoros. ZIFA spokesperson Kolani Gwesela says they heard their fans' calls.
Zimbabwe Football Association, ZIFA, would like to inform the Football Federation of Nations that it is a slash to get charges for Sunday's match against Comoros. Initially, the match was pegged at $3 for rest of ground, $5 for VIP for grandstand, and $10 for VIP. But I would like to assure the football fraternity that we have slashed these charges to $2 to rest of ground, and for grandstand and for VIP, the charges remain the same. So we appeal to the nation, to the fans, to everyone, even there in America, for you to come in your large numbers and support the national team as we clash against the Comoros.
That was ZIFA spokesperson Kolisani Gwesela.